ministry, which says it does everything by the book, has refused to answer key questions about its finances raised by Senate investigators.
We answered them. We gave them a several-page lesson on no.
Well, that's a little bit out of the news. Kenneth Copeland was recently in the news over the inquiry being conducted by Senator Grassley into several televangelists. Now he's back in the news. If you saw the headlines out of the AP, televangelist shares his wealth with family and church abroad. Questions persist about the financial dealings with the Copeland ministry. Kenneth Copeland's probably one of the more popular old school word faith teachers. What's the deal with the money? That's the big question now. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Monday. It's July the 28th. Did you happen to see that story from the AP in yesterday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch about Kenneth Copeland's ministry? Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio as we talk with Bob Lico about the financial dealings of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Talk back at issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, we'll change subjects. Rich Abanis will be our guest. Eckhart Tolle, of course, has been made famous by Oprah Winfrey. He was already a little famous, but now he's really famous. Oprah Winfrey recommending his book, his latest, called A New Earth, The New Earth. We'll talk about Eckhart Tolle with Rich Abanis coming up in a little while on Issues, Etc. Bob Lico is a former Word Faith pastor, a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International. Bob, welcome.
Well, thank you, Todd.
These concerns over the money, how it's spent, what is done in the name of ministry, who's on staff, are these just concerns regarding Kenneth Copeland and his ministry?
Well, not at all. In fact, if anything, Mr. Copeland and his mentor, Kenneth Hagin, who's now deceased, Kenneth Hagin Sr., kind of set the standard of nepotism. Of course, we had Kenneth Hagin, and then we've got his son who's alive, and now his grandson, Craig Hagin. So we've got three generations of Hagin. Hagin's going around, spreading the wealth within the family, to be sure. And you've got Mr. Copeland and his wife, of course, and they, Gloria, and they often speak in different locations, so they receive, of course, double offerings that way, and they both sell their own books and tapes, and money comes in from that. And their daughter is also now on television, Kelly, and Kenneth's son John is kind of behind the scenes. He was doing the television. I don't know if he's still doing it, but occasionally he will be seen on television. He certainly made an appearance when the Grassley investigation was going on with the six other, well, total of six televangelists. And in fact, one of your good people there in St. Louis, Joyce Meyer, was also under investigation, and she's an example of someone whose children and many family members are all working within that ministry and are being very well paid and having, you know, houses and cars and everything provided for them, as well as use of the ministry private jets. So this sort of thing is very, very common amongst the televangelists, and certainly the charismatic televangelists, which I'm most familiar with. I really can't speak about the Baptists or other people who may or may not be on television. But, no, it's very common, unfortunately.
Okay, in the case of Copeland and most of the others that you mentioned there, in fact, perhaps all of the others that you mentioned there, there is a theology, a misguided theology, that fuels this, that gives, that completely explains the whole riches equals God's favor mentality that seems to operate within Copeland's ministries, and why they feel so unaccountable to anyone about all of this. Explain the theology at work here, Bob.
Well, basically, they believe that if you're faithful to give to what they would call good ministry soil, which in their case is themselves or another, you know, word faith preacher on television, or you're a member of a church, then as you give and you're faithful to give, God is going to give back to you either 30, 60, or 100 times the amount that you give. And that's sort of the message that is preached regarding financial prosperity. Their belief is that Jesus was an extremely wealthy man, that he was not poor. In fact, they write in their books, John Avanzini, many others, Charles Capps, will mention the fact that Jesus wore designer clothing that was so valuable that the Roman guards even gambled for his garments, you know, at the cross, which just goes to prove, you know, how valuable his clothing was, and that when Jesus was ministering, he had a treasurer, so obviously he had to have a treasurer in that treasury, and there was so much money that Judas could even steal from it without the other disciples knowing, because those guys at that point in their life would have killed Judas if they had known then that he was, you know, stealing from the treasury. So Jesus was, you know, very wealthy, and thus, as his disciples, he expects all of his servants to be equally wealthy, and that's their belief.
So prosperity is equated, material prosperity is equated with the favor of God, and if you're successful this way, you must be doing God stuff. So why hold anyone accountable who God so obviously favors?
Well,
is that the thinking?
Well, it's not so much a question of accountability as a question of sort of divine right, if you will. In other words, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm preaching and teaching prosperity. God's people are sowing back, giving back to me in offerings, buying my books and tapes, and it's working in my life. Thus, I have a right to distribute this wealth to my family and my friends and people that, you know, have been faithful in the trenches with me. So it's sort of, it's not a question of accountability, although they're offended if you would ask them about the money, because they would say, well, it's none of your business what anyone does with God's money, because eventually we will all stand before God and give an account. And if I'm not worried about facing God, then you shouldn't be worried about what's happening with the money either. And so they look at it as just sort of, it's their right. They're simply operating on the principles of God's word, you know, spiritual law, if you will, regarding finances. And God is honoring his word. He's blessed them with this money. And so they can use it as they well please. And if people have a problem with that, then they can simply stop giving to their ministries. They can vote with their pocketbooks if people don't like it. But apparently, the followers of so many of these televangelists, they seemingly don't have a problem with it. And the reason is because that carrot's dangled before their eyes of saying, see, it's working in our lives. Look at me, Ken Copeland, or look at me, Gloria Copeland. I am so wealthy because I have obeyed God and worked his spiritual principles. It'll happen in your life if you just keep steady, keep giving, keep sowing, keep confessing, and one day you'll be where we are.
Okay,
but if you talk about us and you're negative, you just cut off the flow of blessing.
Okay, but so it's touch not the Lord's anointed kind of stuff.
Right.
Do they? Is this mentality also used to justify the blurry line between things used for, quote-unquote, the ministry and things used for personal pleasure? This story that was out recently last year about Kenneth Copeland was a plane he bought and promised at its dedication would never be used for anything other than the ministry, was
right,
used to take family vacations. Is that considered ministry too?
Oh, absolutely, because after you've been up speaking for a couple hours, say in Dallas or St. Louis, then you need to go and recharge that anointing, and so it's okay to use that jet then to fly to, in his case, Hawaii, and, you know, take a week or two off on the beach at a private resort, because, you know, that's what's required to keep the man of God, you know, built up and strong and rested and joyful and ready to receive from God. And they also use the model, Todd, of kind of the businessman, the CEO in the world. And they would say, look, I'm running a ministry organization here, in Copeland's case, that's in 130-some countries. He's got over 500,000 people that subscribe to his monthly magazine. He's every month virtually, or, you know, all over the world. So he has a right, just like the CEO of GM or Ford or, you know, Google or whatever, to be very well paid for that labor, even though it's for the Lord.
Bob Leko is our guest. He's a former Word Faith pastor and co-founder of Discernment Ministry International. Bob, before we let you go, Let's just get to the bottom line. The false gospel of the word faith movement, you only have about 30 seconds. What is it?
Well, their gospel is basically based upon decision theology that you must make a decision either to receive or reject Christ, that Jesus as a man defeated Satan in hell and is a born-again man, you know, was raised from the dead, and that by our deciding to receive him, we can be exactly like Christ. We can be little Christ on this earth, and we should be healthy and wealthy as Jesus was during his earthly ministry. And it's all there for us if we'll just believe it, receive it, confess it, and possess it.
Bob Leko is a former Word Faith pastor, graduate of Robert Chilton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International. That indeed is a false gospel. Thank you very much, Bob, for being our guest.
Oh, God bless you guys.
You'll find a direct link to Bob Leko and Discernment Ministry International on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand, and you'll find a link to Bob Leko and Discernment Ministry International. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend the rest of the hour talking with Rich Abanas. Oprah Winfrey has made a lot of very successful authors. One of the more recent ones? Eckhart Tolle, The New Earth. We'll find out who Eckhart Tolle is, what he's teaching, and what his book is all about, and why Oprah loves it so much after this.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.